hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday. It's nice and hot down here in Florida as always, but we always push through. How are you doing today, Dad, up in Georgia still?
Doing great. We got this morning, mid-50s. Right now, it's probably high 70s. I mean, it's really, really nice weather. I'm kind of wondering why I want to go back to Florida. I mean, I hear you're in the 90s down there today.
Yeah, we're at 95 yesterday, and with nice hot wind and a nice sand breeze off the soil.
Well, a couple weeks ago when I was home, we had that 95-degree temperature. I walked outside, and it felt like somebody threw a bucket of hot water in my face. And I thought, yeah, this is that was April. And I thought, this is crazy. I said, how can it be this hot in April? And, of course, then I look up, and there's all this geoengineering going on. And, of course, it was supposed to monsoon today here with low temperatures in North Carolina. And they sprayed and sprayed and sprayed and sprayed and sprayed, and now the rain stops. So it's kind of interesting how they do all that, how they control everything. So these guys are something else. By the way, first story today. I read this article earlier today, and I like this. I don't like it, but I like the way the guy wrote this. And he called it, the name of the article is How Higher Education Became an Obscenely Profitable Racket That Enriches the Few at the Expense of the Many, Student Debt. This is an article by Charles Hugh Smith. And I'm going to read you part of it and let you guys look it up for yourself for the rest of it. Student loan lenders are skimming tens of billions in profits that are guaranteed by the taxpayers. Legal rackets have two essential components, a public relations cover that obscures the racket and the mechanism and extracts the wealth from the marks, that being the children, and the higher education racket qualifies on both counts. The PR cover is all you need is a college diploma, and we're going to make that happen. Yay for more education. The extraction mechanism is student loans. And they shows a chart and how we have literally over $1 trillion in student loans now. And he goes on to say that Gordon Long has done some outstanding work clarifying and purposely obscuring the swamp of obscene profits reaped from student serfs. And basically, this thing is a complete and total racket. The racket's foul core is the cartel structure of higher education. If you want a college diploma, you must satisfy a cartel member, which is an accredited institution. That's very important, because if you get a degree from a non-accredited institution, it's not recognized by the states or any other organization that you're trying to get a degree for. The problem, as he elaborates in his book, is that accrediting a school gives no indication to employers if the student learned anything remotely useful or indeed anything at all. Considering the study Academically Adrift, Limited Learning on College Campuses, which concluded that American higher education is characterized by limited or no learning for a large portion of the students. While the majority of students learn little or nothing of value, the legions of overpaid administrators have expanded like rats. In all, from 1987 till 2012, the most recent academic year for comparable figures, the universities and colleges have added 517,636 administrators and professional employees, according to the analysis of the New England Center for Investigative Reporting. There's just a mind-boggling amount of money per student that's being spent on administration. The ratio of non-academic employees to faculty is also doubled. I'm going to repeat that. The ratio of non-academic employees, just like other people that are in support structure rather than faculty, has doubled. There are now 2 non-academic employees at public and 2.5 at private universities and college for every one-time, full-time student, tenured track member of the faculty. So what they're saying is there's more people there working than there are students. This is crazy. The number of employees in the central system offices increased sixfold since 1987, and the number of administrators has increased by over a factor of more than 34. Paying a bloated, overpaid administration heavy institution for the privilege of sitting through 4 years of lectures, online courses, and a few labs no longer makes sense for the vast majority of students. What makes sense is dispensing with the entire bureaucracy, and the cartel, and costly campuses, and designing direct apprenticeships with combined the best online coursework with on-the-job training workplaces. That's exactly right. The vast majority of students are better served by mastering the 8 essential skills required in the emerging economy, skills that students can acquire on their own, a process of accrediting yourself. Forgiving skyrocketing student debt won't solve the real problem, which is the soaring cost imposed by an educational cartel that is failing to prepare students for the economy of tomorrow. Now, guys, he's making exactly correct sense in all of this stuff, and it's the same thing we've told you guys repeatedly. I remember I taught college for 2 years back in the early 80s, in 1981 and 1982. And I had students come back to me after years. I lived in Tallahassee for 10 years, and I had students come back to me years after I'd stopped teaching, and they said, you are the only professor that we learned anything from. No one else prepared. No one else taught us anything. No one else was even, nobody else's class was even worth taking. You taught us how the real world worked. Now, well, here's what's interesting about that. I have learned over the years there's certain ways of doing things, communicating things, especially when I was a college professor, that make the kids listen. And so when I go into a classroom, when I teach, and I still guest lecture, in fact, I guest lecture at Southeastern University here a while back, when I do that, I make the kids understand that this is not a game they're playing. And one of the lectures that I gave the last time is how to change the fabric of space-time and change your own reality. This is a Christian university. And so I teach the kids what the power of prayer does and how they can change their lives by the words they speak and by their confessions. Just the other day, I spoke to a good friend of mine. I've known him for, gosh, 25, 30 years. And he's in the sod business, in the landscaping business. And he took me aside. His daughters were graduating from high school. He's very, very successful, very successful. And he said to me, he says, Ted, I want you to know something. He goes, you changed my life. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, when I first heard you talk about the power of prayer years ago and how when you pray certain things that you create a physical reality of what you pray. And when you continue to pray that, that reality basically manifests itself because that's the power of faith and prayer when you combine it together. He said, I thought you were completely nuts. That's what he said. This is what Jimmy said to me the other day, Austin. And I said, well, yes, most people think that because they don't understand. He goes, but I realize now, because since I become super successful, and he goes, I gave him that CD series that I put together years ago, which we still have in stock. If you guys want one, they're inexpensive for what you get. It's called Maximum Success, How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. And what's interesting about that, he said, you're the reason that I'm successful. You're the reason that I'm out of debt. You're the reason that I'm basically doing as well financially as I'm doing. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I'm so happy that you came to my daughter's graduation from high school and from college. And I said, well, you're welcome. I appreciate it. I said, you guys are really good friends and I've known you for a long, long time. But here's the thing. He didn't learn what I taught him from the university. That's why I'm bringing this up. I was raised in a bar, you know, because we had that German beer tavern when I was a kid. My mom and my dad got divorced. We had a fish camp. And so we had a bunch of cottages on the fish camp. Don't get excited. Now, this thing was built around 1900, right? 1920 or something like that. And this was old stuff. When we got there, we bought the place in 1952. I was born there in 55. You know, the place was already 50, 60 years old. These were old buildings. I mean, they were really kind of run down, to be honest with you. But I had to learn how to repair them. I had to learn how to shingle them. I had to learn how to roof them. I had to learn how to paint them. I had to learn how to clean them. I had to learn how to pressure wash them. I had to learn how to run new sewage lines. I had to learn how to do all of it. Because my dad wasn't there, and I had these subcontractors that we would use. I'd learned how to do everything, but I was required to do all of the skill sets that needed to be done. And that's when I finally thought, well, you know what? There's got to be a better way than the way I'm doing it. And so I thought I'd go to college and I would learn things from the university. But I also found out very quickly in the university, they teach you more and more about less and less the higher you go. In other words, when you get a bachelor's degree in biology, you learn a lot. You get a master's degree, you learn even more about certain things. You get a doctorate, you learn a whole bunch about very little. Now, that's the truth. That's what happens. Now, what's interesting about that is none of those things teach you how to get through the real world from a educational standpoint into transitioning. That's what we're talking about on the show today. I want you guys to know that if your kids want to go to vocational school, they're probably be better off doing that and learning a trade and being trained than going to college with $100,000 in student debt to support this bloated bureaucracy of the educational system. This is not good. I've seen it over and over and over. And again, I'm going to repeat myself. I was a college professor. So there are a couple of things I taught the kids as they start college, especially Austin and Harrison. So the number one thing you've got to learn when your kids go to school is they got to sit in the front of the class, they got to get to know the professor, but before they even take the class, they got to go online and look at ratemyprofessor.com or whatever the website is and find out who the jerks are, who the nice guys are. Because a professor can make a class absolutely fun or absolutely horrible. That's what they can do. I mean, instantaneously. And so you can learn a lot and enjoy it, or you won't learn anything. Now, also what you have to learn if you're telling your kids this, let them listen to the audio of this. If they take a class and they have a horrible professor and they've got to take that class with that professor, and that's the only one who offers that, or teaches that class, find something good about that professor. They always have something good. Either they're wearing good shoes, or they got a nice briefcase, or they got a nice haircut. Find something good. Find something positive, and don't get in that situation where you start getting negative about everything in the class, because then it makes it difficult to learn the material because you're always mad because you had to take the class. Always look at it from that point of view, because you have to take the class anyhow because you have to meet the quote-unquote graduation requirements. So, guys, again, our educational system is massively, massively overpriced. If you can get your children to go through a junior college at home while they're in high school, if that's available to you, it makes a lot more sense, because they'll basically pay that for your children for free. Harrison got his first 3 years at the university, the college, completely paid for free. This is my 18-year-old. He just turned 18. He just graduated from high school. He finished his AA degree 6 months ago, and now he's in the end of, he's already at the end of his junior year, 3 years at the college already, the end of his junior year, and he's gotten everything paid for by the state. Now, that's the way you do it. Don't worry about the fact that it's not Harvard or Yale or Florida State or University of Florida or a state school. Get the bachelor's degree there and graduate and get a diploma, because that's a fully accredited school. And those transfer credits and that transcript will transfer to any other accredited school for a master's or doctorate degree. Then it becomes more important on where you go and what you're going to do with your degrees and what you're going to do with your education. But if you're going to be an engineer or a doctor or an attorney or a nurse or educator, whatever, okay? Remember, it doesn't matter what the name of the school is as long as the school is fully accredited. So don't worry about sending your kids off to college when they're 18 years old. To me, I tell the kids, if you're not willing to take the classes for free that you can get in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade as a collegiate high school student, why am I going to pay for you to go to college when you won't even do that for me, when we don't have to pay for it? That's how I make it for the kids. So if they want to go to school, they've got to involve themselves in going to school and doing it properly for their sophomore, junior, and senior years. Otherwise, they just need to get a good job and work their way up the chain of command in some corporation or start their own business. That's how I feel about all that, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And one thing I wanted to go back to is what you were talking about with the overbloated job positions for these professors and administration, these universities. We've seen this firsthand with a lot of colleges and schools around here, is that they continue to grow with all these jobs, and it looks really, really great on paper. You know, you have, oh, we need to hire this person, we need to hire that person, we need to add more professors, we need to add this building, we need to add this building. And a lot of these universities, the only thing they're adding is debt, or the only thing they're doing to fund all this is bringing in more state or federal grants to expand this, these buildings, this property, and more stuff. And a lot of these times, these professors get locked in because they love these ivory tower positions, and there's nothing wrong at all about being a college professor. I've thought about doing it numerous times. Dad's done it before. But a lot of these guys get so wrapped up in that lifestyle, that just kind of sheltered college lifestyle. That's their job. They get tenure. They can't get fired. They can pretty much teach and do anything they want. And, I mean, it's a pretty cool job. And they just decide to stay there. And then you have more professors coming in and more professors coming in, and the colleges add in different classes with more professors and new buildings and more debt. And the problem is, all these kids are just taking on more debt, and they're the ones who take the brunt of it, because they're the ones that have to be saddled with this debt the rest of their life, and they can't bankrupt it. I mean, right now there's over 40 million people in the United States now with student loans at over $1.3 trillion.
Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, $1.3 trillion. Let that set in for a second, guys. $1.3 trillion with a T. The national debt on the books right now is just about to hit $20 trillion. So over one-twentieth of our total national debt with the overbloated federal government is with private student loan debt that these kids cannot bankrupt at all by law, unless they're like significantly disabled, basically almost dead, and you can't work anymore. That's like the only way you can get an exemption to do it. And at that point, I mean, okay, you're already in a bad enough position. So Yeah, think about this stuff. I've seen so many. I've known kids that have gone in college and they get these student loans and they get way more than they need, and then they blow it on food and going out and partying and cars and anything you want. They give you a blank check, and these kids don't realize that after 4 years they got $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 in student loans, and they got to pay for it now. Now all of a sudden you only got 6 months of deferment, which means you got 6 months after you graduate to start paying on this stuff, and now you got a $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 a month student loan payment that you're stuck with for the next 10, 15, 20 years in some cases, and some of them 30 years, depending on how long they go out, and you're paying interest on it on top of it. One of the biggest things Donald Trump could do right now that would unbelievably stimulate the economy, especially in the college market with people with degrees, is to completely freeze any and all student debt, or at least freeze all student debt at like 0.9 APR, something like that, 0.9%, some very, 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 very minimal APR interest on it. And that right there would help these guys out so much, because I've seen a lot of these student note debts and student loan debts. I've seen the numbers on them and how much money they're actually paying in interest every month, and it's usury. It's flat out usury. There's no other way around it. These kids don't have a vehicle, or as far as like, they didn't buy a vehicle all the time. They didn't buy a house. They didn't buy property. It's not a mortgage. It's a student loan debt that got you a degree. You've learned the information. You have it now, but you have no tangible asset. The only thing you do is have the knowledge to hopefully go out and do something with it and earn more money, but you don't have any physical assets. You don't have gold or silver that you can turn around and utilize. A lot of people disagree with me on that, and that's fine. Everybody can have their own opinion, but when we start having over $1 trillion in student debt throughout this country, that's a significant problem, and nobody wants to touch it. The mainstream media won't bring it up. The Trump administration won't bring it up. Nobody in the government will bring it up at all. Everybody wants to act like there's nothing wrong, nothing to see here, don't worry about it, and it's becoming an issue because it's crushing the younger generation with debt. That's why you see now, Dad talked about the other day, like 40% of the millennials now are moving back into their parents' basement and sponging off them, and now they're sponging off their Social Security and all that. All this stuff trickles down, and that's one of the main final culprits we see here is the student loan debt. When you take the $1.3 trillion and divide it by over 40 million, the amount of kids, it's like $35,000, $36,000 per person on average, every single person, 40 million people. I mean, you're talking like a sixth of the population has $30,000 to $40,000 in debt on a student loan. That's insane. That's not including cars, insurance, food, housing, property, mortgage, any of that stuff. That's just student loan debt. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Dad. Also, too, in other news, this is pretty wild here. The Boston Herald editorial staff has basically come out now with an unbelievably aggressive vaccine piece. And, you know, I read part of it, and you know how a lot of these pro-vaccine articles, they basically like to belittle anybody that questions the vaccine mainstream narrative. They say that vaccines cause harm. Ha, ha, ha. They're so ignorant. They think vaccines have ever hurt somebody. Vaccines are 100% safe. You know how they do that derogatory, just condescending nonsense in these articles. Well, they've gone out to a whole nother level now, and they've blatantly said that if you go against the vaccine narrative, it ought to be a hanging offense. That's what they published in there today. They went on to say part of it here was the beginning. It was talking about the British doctor, one British doctor who basically has been disbarred over there because of his stance on vaccines. They said the disgraced British doctor who once reported a link between vaccines and autism. This is what they say. They don't go into the whole detail about everything that happened. He once reported a link between vaccines and autism, which was deemed fraudulent and cost him his medical license. Enough is enough. These are the facts. Vaccines do not cause autism. Measles can kill. And lying to vulnerable people about the health and safety of their children ought to be a hanging offense. End quote. That's what they put in the Herald this week. The Boston Herald. I don't know how much more aggressive and violent the rhetoric and propaganda that these blithering idiot liberals have to put in writing on publications in the mainstream media before people start realizing that there is a complete and total two-sided narrative with these guys. One side is they want everybody to be tolerant. They want you to accept everything. They want you to love violent terrorist Muslims. They want you to believe everything they do. They don't want you to question anything. But as soon as you even say, well, I don't really know if the vaccine narrative's the truth. I mean, vaccine may cause autism. That's a hanging offense. You need to be executed for that. How dare you question the mainstream media? You need to die. That's what these guys are doing now. And until everybody starts waking up and making a stand and doing what we do on this show and blatantly coming out with the vaccine facts, that's why almost every single day I have another vaccine article, another vaccine research study, another vaccine death or dismembered or mauled case where somebody's been injured, because I want you guys to know this isn't getting better. It's not going away. The lies that they keep pushing on us through the mainstream media are just that. They're lies to twist our thinking, to completely and totally keep us in the dark and make us think these deadly vaccines are the safest thing that were ever given to us, and how dare we ever question it at all. They're never linked to autism. Why would you ever think that? That's not even a plausible excuse for anything. That's what they're pushing on us now, guys. We have to stay awake. You have to start waking other people up. Go buy the movie Vax. Give it to people. It's like $10. We did that the other day with somebody else. It's like $10 a DVD. Buy it and send it to somebody that's interested in this or is starting to wake up in this, and wake up the general population, because this is getting out of hand. Not only are they trying to do mandatory vaccines out in California, which they're doing now, not only do we have Gottlieb, who's GlaxoSmithKline, head of the FDA now, who's going to try and force mandated vaccines on children and adults now. Now we have the Boston Herald blatantly coming out now and saying anybody that lies and says that vaccines are linked to autism, it needs to be a hanging offense. This is insane to me, Dad, how far this is going. That's why I'm so riled up today after I read this article, because of the lies these guys are pushing, and not just lies now. Now they're trying to say that we need to be killed if we talk about the vaccine truth. It's getting out of line, man.
Well, remember, the Jason Scholar said the primary thing we have to do on this planet is depopulate. This is back in the 50s. I've talked about this in depth before. And these Jason scholars, they don't care how it's depopulated. They give different versions of how to do that. And we know that vaccines are being used by this. We also know that the CIA controls the media through the Exchange Stability Fund. Everybody needs to do research on the Exchange Stability Fund. There's a 6-part little mini series on the Exchange Stability Fund. They're like 10 minutes a piece on YouTube. Just look them up. It's Exchange Stability Fund, YouTube, 6-part series, and you'll find this. In fact, I'll look them up during the next, when I go to your story in a second, Austin, and I'll tell people exactly the link to go to. This is all being funded through the CIA. The CIA has controlled the media and the narrative for a long, long, long time. But you've got to remember, it's the Sabbatean Kabbalists that control the CIA. The Sabbatean Kabbalists control the CIA, who control the media, who control the narrative. And they don't want the United States to continue to be a nationalistic society. They want us to be a society that is going to be a mestizo society of mixed races. They don't want white people to breed. White people have caused too many problems. So they want to downplay the whites, make the whites horrible. So when finally the last white person goes extinct, they can say, finally, we've got rid of the white people. I mean, that's what they want to do. I mean, that's just who these people are. They don't care, because remember, they don't consider us to be human beings anyhow. This is Lucifer's big thing. He wants to destroy everything that God created. So always remember that. And look at the CIA right now in another story. The CIA creates a mission center to address the North Korean threat. Located in the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, the unit, according to an agency press release, will focus on the nuclear and ballistic missile threat posed by the North Korea. This is the CIA? Well, that didn't make sense. That's because they control the military. The CIA has established a Korea mission center to harness the full resources, capabilities, and authorities of the agency in addressing the nuclear and ballistic missile threat, which is pretty much non-existent as far as I'm concerned, by North Korea. No, here's why the CIA is involved in this, in my humble opinion. The CIA is the primary drug runner out of Afghanistan, and North Korea, we reported yesterday, is one of the primary drug producers of bullet poppies and heroin globally. And they're probably cutting into the CIA profits. And that's why the CIA is involved in all of this stuff. Guys, when Kennedy said he wanted to basically destroy and disband the CIA, they went berserk on him, and that's one of the primary reasons he ended up dying. But we need to get this. The CIA has completely and totally outlived its usefulness. It's the enforcement arm of the Exchange Stability Fund, which runs the entire country through the Treasury, which was taken over in 1934 by the Rothschild banking cartel through the Exchange Stability Fund, and through the drug money, and through the banking cartel, etc. That's how this whole thing ties back together again. And I'm the only person, Austin, from an alternative news talk show host, me and you, that talk about the Exchange Stability Fund. Everybody else wants to go, shh, quiet, we don't talk about that.
Yep.
I don't, whatever, man. That's who's doing all of this stuff, and we've got to understand what in the world's happening with all this story. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. That's why I brought up North Korea from the very beginning. These guys have been running their mouths, or supposedly running their mouths, for the last decade about they were going to do this and they were going to do that. Here's the thing everybody has to understand. All this is fear-mongering. All this is to get the war drums going, to get the military-industrial complex spooled up so they can funnel more money into the black ops, more money off the balance sheets, more money into the entire globalization of this country and control under a military police state. If North Korea wanted to do anything at all, and they had the ability to do so, all we would do is use one of our space-based weapon platforms, or we would just launch one of those things. I think you dads referred to them before. I've looked at them, the Rod of God, those big, big old rods they can drop. There are so many other options that we have now with the technology that we have as far as weapon systems. It's off the charts. If we were actually truly concerned, really concerned about something they were going to do, that's all we would have to do as soon as they tried to launch something. We have the NSA that monitors the entire world. It dragnets every single conversation ever made throughout the entire world. You acting like they don't know what the North Koreans are going to do. He's just going to preemptively launch all these nuclear weapons and blow up the United States. Give me a break, guys. Are you kidding me? Is everybody that inept? Like, they really think this is going to happen? The only thing that's going to happen, if there is some type of attack or launch or anything, in my opinion, and a lot of other professional opinions, it is going to be a false flag controlled CIA black op that they're going to use North Korea as the scapegoat at saying they did this or they did that, or they end up letting them do it and they allow an EMP, a cyber attack, whatever they want to utilize, and say it was the North Koreans, we need to attack them, we need to invade, we need to take over their country. Oh, and while we're here, we're going to go ahead and put in a central bank, tank over all their mineral assets, all the wealth of the country that they have left, and we had to do it because North Korea attacked us. The same thing we're going to do with Iran. You already know it's going to happen. They've been hitting the drums for years on it. Iran's making nuclear weapons. Iran wants to bomb Israel. Iran wants to blow up the U.S. They may want to do that. A lot of people don't like the U.S. A lot of people don't like Israel. Can't blame them on both of those sometimes. I don't even like the United States sometimes, some of the stuff we do. Can't really blame them. But that's going to be the next step. Oh, we got to invade Iran. We got to bomb Iran. We got to take them over. Oh, while we're here, we're going to take all the oil assets, and we're going to put in a central reserve bank again, like we do in every single country we invade. That's where this is headed, guys. So be very weary of a lot of these people that are just constantly spewing out the North Korea, you need to be scared, you need to be terrified, nuclear war is going to break out immediately because of them. We may have some type of attack, but it's going to be 99% guarantee you it's going to be a false flag, or it's going to be the something that the United States knows about and allows to happen so they can use it as a secondary strike to go in and invade the country. That's just facts. Everybody needs to understand that, Dad.
Well, you're right. I've looked at the video I told you I would. Now, I want to read you this. Zero Hedge even reported on this. It says, I'm going to read you one paragraph Zero Hedge wrote. It is impossible to understand the world today without knowing what the ESF, the Exchange Stability Fund, is and what it has been doing. Officially in charge of defending the dollar, it is a government agency. It's the government agency which controls the New York Fed. Well, that's not true. The New York Fed controls it. It runs the CIA's black budget. And it is the architect of the world's monetary system, the IMF, the World Bank, etc. The Exchange Stability Fund financing through the OSS, which was the precursor to the CIA, built up the worldwide propaganda network, which has so badly distorted history today, including erasing awareness of its existence from popular consciousness. It has been directly involved in virtually every major U.S. fraud scandal since its creation in 1934. The London Gold Pool, the Kennedy assassinations, Iran-Contra, the CIA drug trafficking, HIV, and worse. And if you want to find it, you can go to, it's like a 5-part series. It's called What I Have Been Afraid to Blog About, the ESF and its History, Part 1. So it's easy to remember, What I've Been Afraid to Blog About, that's the name of this, the ESF and its History, Part 1. If you just go to that, you can start watching it, like 9 minutes for the first one, and it will explain it in detail of who these people are and why they're such lunatics and how they control everything, including The media, for heaven's sakes, Austin. What do you think?
No, it's exactly what it is, man. I mean, every aspect of pretty much almost all the information we get, unless it's from the alternative media like us or Hodges or Hagmans or any of these guys, is pretty much controlled. I mean, that's what they want. They want everybody to stay in the dark. They want everybody to watch their, you know, Dancing with the Stars and whatever other reality TV shows they have every night, so they stay focused. The NFL, that's the biggest one. That's a huge moneymaker for them right there. Keeps the men completely occupied for about 4 to 5 months out of the entire year, completely void of any productivity after work because all they're doing is obsessed about NFL. It's just sad. That's what we've seen, and it's been incredibly effective from what they've done here. Also, too, in another health article, this is something that we have to speak up about immediately. I wanted to address this. I just saw it the other day, and I'll be contacting them as well up in Sherman County. Azure Standard, which is a mobile co-op that delivers well-priced organic foods and products in bulk to drop-off points around the country. They've been doing this for about 18 years now. It's a 2,000-acre organic farm, which produces reasonably priced organic wheat, field peas, barley, beef, a couple other different things as well for thousands of people across the country. It's essentially about to be sprayed with Roundup against their will due to a ruling from the local municipality about invasive plants. This is crazy. This is up in Oregon, if I didn't say that earlier. Oregon State now, their law requires farms to control noxious weeds at any cost. In this case, the weed in question is the Canadian thistle. Sherman County appears to be concerned that Azure Farms has not taken enough steps to eradicate the weed and has decided they're going to do it themselves to the detriment of Azure's long-standing 18-year organic certification. Just in case you're under the misconception that we actually own our land, we're not. I've brought that up too before. That's a really hard one for people to get, especially when they bought property and they own it or they own their house. If you want to realize how little you own your property, don't pay your property taxes for a year or two and see how long you own your property for. That's a side note though. But apparently Sherman County is issuing a court order on May 22nd to quarantine Azure Farms for not filing and staying in law with eliminating the Canadian thistle and possibly to spray the entire farm with herbicides, contaminating them with Milestone, Escort, and Roundup herbicides. This will destroy all the efforts of Azure Farms, as for many years they've done to produce the very cleanest organic food. The county, after this, will then put a lien on the farm to pay for the expenses of the labor and chemical used because Azure Farms failed to do so. This is nuts, guys. They have a Canadian thistle that's not even completely out of control. They've already gone on the record showing this. They've taken photos. They said, yes, we have it on our property. No, it's not out of control. We can completely keep it under control because we don't use pesticides. We don't use Roundup. So we don't have an issue with these super weeds like all these other farms do. Doesn't matter. The state of Oregon's still saying that they're basically ruling on the 22nd. So support organic farms, especially if you're out west. Sherman County Court, you need to contact them before May 22nd this year. That only gives us, I think, about a week and a half left. You can give them a call over there at 541-565-3416 and make your voice heard. This is out of control. Again, this has nothing to do with weeds, in my opinion. This is just a concerted, under-the-radar effort from a lot of these globalist government positions to come in and try and ruin the organic farms. Once they can completely dominate and control a lot of these organic farms, then that way they can completely overtake the entire U.S. agriculture with Monsanto or whatever other patented seed they want to bring in and just hose it down with a dozen different herbicides and pesticides and everything every year, and it will be the end of organic food as we know it, Dad. So I wanted to definitely bring that to light today and make sure everybody knows what's going on.
See, the problem is the smaller organic farms have a real high yield per acre for organics, and they're able to sell their products on the market at a premium. Now, an individual organic farm may not have that big of a footprint as far as the marketplace because they're individual. But when you combine the thousands and thousands of organic farms all around the United States together into one giant footprint, we put a major footprint on top of the industrialized, commercialized organic farms that are owned by Big Agra, because these don't necessarily meet the same quality control standards they do on smaller farms. The problem that you run into then is you don't know what you're getting from these Big Agra companies. So many of these companies market their products as organic, and they're not. I'm going to repeat that. They market their products as organic, and they are not. When Whole Foods was asked to start labeling its organic products and label what was from GMO a couple of years ago, they refused to do it, so they needed years and years to try to figure out what was what. No, they don't. They know exactly what it is and where it comes from. The problem is a lot of these grocery stores, they're selling organic foods from big commercial, quote-unquote, organic growers that really aren't organic products. And that's been proven over and over. They're tested for pesticides, they test positive. They're tested for inorganic fertilizers, they test positive. They're tested for GMOs, they test positive. On and on and on. That's the real problem. The smaller organic farms are getting too big of a footprint in aggregate, and they're starting to cut into the profits of the large monopoly farms, and they want to put all of these guys out of business. And plus, that way, if they decide that they don't want to sell organic food anymore and all the little guys are gone, we're stuck eating the junk, Austin. We're just stuck eating the garbage. That's all we're going to be doing. By the way, Aetna has fully exited Obamacare exchanges with pullouts in two states. This is crazy. Reuters. Health insurer Aetna has said on Wednesday it will exit the 2018 Obamacare individual insurance market in Delaware and Nebraska, the two remaining states where it offered the plans. Aetna had already said it would exit the individual commercial market in Virginia and Iowa after pulling out of several other states last year. Aetna has now completely exited the exchanges. The company said in an email statement, insurers, Humana, and United Health Group have also pulled out most of the government-subsidized individual health insurance market. These are huge, huge, huge insurance companies, guys. Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives last week voted to undo the Affordable Care Act, often called Obamacare, the signature domestic achievement of the former gay President Kenyon. But even if the Republicans' bill known as the American Health Care Act is passed, the Senate would have not solve a critical outstanding issue for insurers looking at 2018. Will the government continue to fund the cost-sharing subsidies to help individuals pay for care? Again, what this boils down to is the government has gotten themselves involved in what they shouldn't be involved in. And Trump said this during his campaign when he said, I'm going to make it so that they can cross-sell across state lines, and people could compete for health insurance coverage with different sellers of health insurance. But he's not done that. That hasn't happened. That's really important if he can get that through, because if he can deregulate that, then it'll bring the phone bills down. You guys remember back in the 70s when AT&T pretty much ran the planet as far as the United States, as far as telephones, we had like one main service provider, and they could charge anything they wanted to charge, Austin. You don't remember that because it's before your time, where you were born. And it didn't make any difference. You'd be paying 20, 30, 40 cents a minute for a long-distance phone call that are now free. These calls are free. So what's crazy about all of this stuff, guys, is that if we open up the markets and we allow free enterprise to come in and start to insure people through lower-cost programs without all this government regulation, the health insurance will cost $200 a month, you know, with a $500 deductible. But until we allow that to happen, it won't make any difference. Also, the health business, the health-regulated companies, when they started allowing the corporations to make so much money in healthcare, this was underneath Nixon back in the 70s, when they allowed that to happen, what happened is this. They've massively bloated the administrative expenses of the hospitals with regulation. The same thing as the colleges and the universities. You don't need 45 people on payroll in a small hospital that has 20 people sitting in the rooms. You don't need that. You don't need that. And that's what they have. So they got to pay all of those people's staff and all those people's insurance and all of those people's retirement funds, and all of that stuff has to be added in. I remember years ago I had back surgery back in, I think it was 1988, 89, and I remember I didn't have any health insurance back then because I was kicking against the system even back then, and it wasn't very expensive. It was like $6,000 for the insurance for the hospital and for the doctor, everything. But what was interesting about this is I was paying the bill, and they had given me a bunch of medication after the surgery that I didn't want because I didn't want to be all drugged up. And they still left the doggone medication for the surgery on my bill. And some of this stuff, they were charging me $40, $50, $60, $100 for one pill. And I looked at the guys. I said, I didn't take any of this stuff. I wanted it off the bill. Well, it was given to you. No, I said, it wasn't given to me. I refused it. I said, no, I'm not paying for it. And finally, they said, okay. And they took it all off the bill, and I paid it. But the whole thing about this is, guys, is that's what's happened. We've got a bloated federal government. We've got bloated state governments. We've got bloated county governments, and they have to pay all of their legacy costs. When employees work there for 10, 20, 30, 40 years or whatever, and they all start retiring, they got 50% of their salary coming for the rest of their life. That's a problem. That's a problem. And you can't continue to do that. They need to have a retirement program set aside that they can invest into, like the rest of the general population, and allow the rest of the general population to do what they need to do with the money, instead of allowing them to continue to pass those legacy costs on. This is what happened with General Motors. Why it went bankrupt a few years ago? Because it couldn't continue the legacy costs, Austin. What do you think?
No, that's exactly what it is. And that's what we're reaching at a whole nother level right now because of how the market's gone over the last 40, 50 years. So it's definitely going to be something that, you know, it's going to be wild to watch. I mean, and that's what comes back to where I talked about the student loans earlier. But also, too, in another article with the police state and how far it's expanding. Remember how I talked about a couple days ago, three, 4 days ago, maybe last week, how this younger generation is giving in to the total biometric systems. I mean, not even thinking twice about it. Also, remember that all these cell phone companies, laptop companies, all these companies that collect your biometrics, that function with it, they sell all of your information. Everybody understands that. They have the right to sell anything about you that they want whenever they want. And they've even come out now, and when they're not supposed to sell it, they still sell it. And there's nothing you can really do about it except filing a massive lawsuit and going through court for years. Well, now what is going on is Homeland Security is actually releasing biometric databases to states now, particularly the first main one now is Texas. This was released in Texas this week. Law enforcement now have access to DHS massive biometric database. It's stated in here, Texas law enforcement are now getting a big assistance from the federal government. Texas is the first state to get access to a massive Department of Homeland Security biometric database, letting police have access to everyone's biometrics. This is so asinine. It's just out of my mind. I mean, the level of abuse that's going to happen with this is just through the roof. First off, a lot of this stuff shouldn't even be stored. You have to understand, Homeland Security has data on over 220 million people currently, and that's what they tell us that they have. That's what they're open about that they have. That's not all the stuff off the books that they have that they're not supposed to have in all their information, especially when they collude with the NSA and CIA and everything else. The IDENT, which is the main massive Homeland Security database biometric system now, the automated biometric identification system, has evolved over the years into the central DHS-wide system for the storage and processing of biometric data. IDENT stores and processes all biometric data, including digital fingerprints, photographs, iris scans, and facial images, and links biometrics with biographical information to establish and verify identities. IDENT serves as a biographic and biometric repository for the Department of Homeland Security, and they just released this to Texas law enforcement now. This is the issue that I've told everybody. They're building data on everybody in the country. Actually, they're building data on everybody in the world. But in general, in this country, they're putting together giant files on everybody, from your fingerprints to your eyes to your facial recognition to your height to your weight to your skin tone to your ethnicity to your background to your history from your credit card purchases. Every single thing you do is going into these files now, and Homeland Security stores all of it. Now they start releasing it to state and local law enforcement. That allows them to utilize and abuse it the way that they want to do it, into turning it into a complete and total totalitarian police state. That was the goal from the beginning with Homeland Security when they started it in 2001 after 9/11. It did not exist. Remember that, guys. The Department of Homeland Security did not exist before 9/11. It was already ready to go on paper, ready to established the minute that 9/11 happened. They had to have a preemptive reason to install Homeland Security. That was it. 9/11 was it. They needed Homeland Security to come in and be the buffer between the CIA and local law enforcement. They wanted to have a median that they could use under federal regulations and say, this is for your protection. We have to make sure you don't get hurt by any terrorists. We need to have a database. We need to watch everybody. And here we go with it. That's what they've built now. Now they're releasing it to law enforcement. Now they're going to let the local law enforcement, which is essentially their foot soldiers, handle these biometric systems, which shouldn't even exist, in my opinion. Not only should the federal government not be having them, but they do. Now they're releasing them to law enforcement to be abused. This is going to go a whole nother level. This is what we've warned about for years. Dave Hodges warned about it for years. We've been talking about it as far as the police state growing, especially after Homeland Security came in and gave these local law enforcements and sheriffs these massive multi-million dollar grants, tons of machine guns, MRAPs, body armor, night vision, helicopters, any extra military gear that couldn't be used anymore got dumped off on the local law enforcement. I told you our sheriff here, they have two MRAPs. One's a big one. The next one's a monstrosity of one. It's huge. I mean, it literally looks like a dump truck. It's monstrous. And, you know, do they need that? I really don't think so, not in this county. Is it kind of cool when you go look at it in person? Yeah, it's cool. But can it absolutely be abused for entirely too far with tyrannical police powers? Yeah, it can. It really can. And that's the issue that we have. If we start getting some of these sheriffs and law enforcement authorities in some of these states that want to prove a point on how controlled they are and how much they can dominate the general population, having now this military equipment and Homeland Security's biometric database, that is a bad, bad recipe, Dad, in my opinion.
I couldn't have said that any better, Austin. I mean, you made some really good, you always make great comments, but today you've really been on a good roll. I mean, that's exactly right. We don't have to do that. I mean, it's part of the state. It's a part of the police state, and you're exactly right. We didn't have a Department of Homeland Security, just like we didn't have the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act is the basically the exact, not exact word, verbiage, but very close to the same verbiage of the Enabling Act, which Hitler enacted before the Reichstag, after the Reichstag was burned in 1933. And see, here's what we have to understand something, guys. You know, we have to realize that, you know, our fathers, our forefathers, you know, they lived and died in this country to support our freedom and to prevent this police state from developing, Austin. It's very important we get that. And even the people that died in Germany during World War II, some of them were basically misguided as far as the things that they did, but they had some really good military personnel in Germany, and they need to be honored for what they did, for what they believed in. I remember when Ronald Reagan laid a tomb at the Waffen-SS in Germany and got, when he's president, and got unbelievably criticized for it because he was actually honoring the dead. Now guys, when people die for wars, they do things for wars, and they believe in what they believe in, it's a cause, and they give their lives to try to provide for their families and support the general population, et cetera, et cetera. We need to honor them, unless they're like running a concentration camp or doing something absolutely horrible, because they're believing in what they're doing and the government is sending them and marching them off the war. Now, I said all of that to say this. The Jefferson Davis Monument has come down in New Orleans after 106 years. Now, it's primarily because of the South. It honored the Southern and the Confederate States. It honored Jefferson Davis, the president of the South, the Confederacy. Now, remember, my family's from Germany. We didn't have any slaves in the Civil War. We weren't here. We had our own set of problems that we had to deal with over in Europe. But the reality is this. The Confederacy had enough of the tyranny coming out of Washington with the federal government. They said, enough. And they said, we're going to split the country. You guys do what you want to do, be a bunch of weirdos. We're going to go ahead and not be a bunch of weirdos. And basically Lincoln said, no, you're going to have to be a bunch of weirdos or we're going to kill you. So we're going to kill you if you don't want to be a weirdo. Now, you can read a really good book. It's called The South Was Right. And it's on Abraham Lincoln. And and then another book called The Real Lincoln. Remember, Lincoln's wife was a Sabbatean. She was a witch. She was a Satan worshiper. You know, you don't believe that? Look it up. She used to do seances in the White House. That's who Lincoln is. Now, when they bring this Jefferson Davis monument down because they've been protesting it, it doesn't give honor or homage to the Confederate soldiers who died in those areas or from those families, because the special interest groups decide to get mad and they want to make sure that all these Confederate war memorial things come down. They're bringing some other ones down. This is the article out of New Orleans. A large police presence as well as a large cranes and heavy equipment were all part of the removal of the monument to former Confederate President Jefferson Davis early Thursday, May the 11th, under the cover of darkness. Workers who showed up to work on the removal were again shrouded with masks and dark clothing. As the city has said, there have been numerous threats made against those participating in the removal. The monument to Jefferson Davis was erected in 1911, has stood for 106 years. Crews showed up at 3 a.m. in the morning, Austin, in the morning, and the actual removal of the statue was done shortly after 5 a.m. as a sling and bubble wrap were put around the statue before it was hoisted in the air and laid down on the bed of a truck. This morning, we continue our march of reconciliation by removing the Jefferson Davis Confederate statue from its pedestal of reverence, said Mayor Mitch Landrieu in a statement. This nauseates me. Complete and totally nauseates me. And it's all about, oh, the South is about slavery. Guys, newsflash. Eli Whitney had developed the cotton gin, and slavery was on the way out because they no longer had to have slaves to pick cotton. A lot of the slave owners had already turned their slaves loose. The slaves are being brought in through England, through the Sabbatean Kabbalist Rothschild banking cartel, and the guys before that, the merchants who were bringing them in, all into the United States as a trafficking of humans. This is exactly what these Sabbatean Kabbalists like to do, and they're trying to turn us all back into slaves with microchips. That's what they want to do. They control their commodities. Because remember, they don't see us as humans, they see us as a commodity. As cattle to be taken to the slaughter. That's all we are to these guys. We're just another mouthful, another giving unit, another unit that can be taxed, and we can force money and income out of you and force labor out of you. That's how they see us. They see us as goyim, they call us. Like cattle, non-humans. Guys, this is some crazy stuff that we talk about, but taking down the Confederate War Memorial, this honors the dead, honors Jefferson Davis, honors those literally millions of people that died in that war. Guys, this is complete nonsense. It doesn't reconcile anyone. All it does is destroy the heritage of the South, the heritage of New Orleans, the heritage of all the Southern states, and it's falling a victim to political correctness again. Absolutely nuts. I tell you what, I'm not even from this country. You know, I mean, my mom was in Germany, but if they gave me that statue to put up, I'd put that thing in my backyard, Austin, out of respect for the people in this country that gave their lives. I would do that because there's absolutely no other reason I would do it, because it's just crazy. Remember, it was Sherman's March to the Sea that took a 60-mile strip from Atlanta to the ocean to break the back of the South, and they burned the farms, burned the livestock, killed the livestock, ate the food, burned the crops, burned the silos.
Women and children, too.
Killed the children, raped everybody. That's what Lincoln did with Sherman. And yet, guess what? Albert Pike, the big Freemason from the South, the boy who wrote Morals and Dogma, who said they want to grab the seething energies of Lucifer in his book through the United States by opening the triangle of the doggone, the pentagram that is Washington D.C. on the streets I was laid out, to grab the seething energies of Lucifer through worshiping Lucifer, you know, through his Masonic lodges. He still has a huge, huge statue, Confederate War General, downtown D.C. This thing is so ridiculous to me, Austin. What do you think about them pulling Jefferson's statue down? Robert E. Lee, yeah. The Jefferson Davis Memorial, Robert, and a statue.
Yeah, I mean, it's on a whole nother level as far as what we're seeing right here as a double standard. It's the same thing that I went back to earlier with the guys in the Boston Herald, where anybody that goes against the vaccine narrative needs to be hung. This is the same thing again. They want everybody to be tolerant of their viewpoint. They want everybody to accept their way of life. They want everybody to sit back and say, thank you, can I have another, whenever they do these unbelievably weird things to everybody and want us to accept it. But as soon as we have something like a war memorial for people that have died before these kids were even born, before their grandparents were even born, and they want to sit here and tear this thing down because they want to be social justice warriors and they're trying to save people and prevent racism. Are you kidding me, dude? Mom, you have to be unbelievably ignorant if you think the Civil War was even based off racism. The only reason that it started is because the United States South were actually men, and they said, no, we're not going to be dictated by the North. You're not going to tax us unfairly like we were in England. You guys aren't going to keep taking our stuff. You're not going to keep raising taxes on us because you guys can't manage your money properly and you guys want to keep going in debt. We're going to separate, do our own thing. You guys go kick rocks and have fun up north. We're not going to do anything for you guys anymore, nor are we going to pay your taxes. That's the basis of what it started on. And those boys in the South said, we're not going to deal with this anymore. You guys want to do it? Come and take them. We got guns, you got guns. Come and take them. And the only reason the North won is because they were funneling in so many Europeans, they couldn't keep up as far as with the South. The South didn't get resupplies. They didn't get more infantry back in. They didn't get more guns or more ammo. They were going off all their resources, all their stockpiles, everything they had in the South, and they still held them off. They couldn't keep up with the amount of deaths, though. That was the problem. The North kept funneling in more people and more people and more people and more people. Yeah, it couldn't stop. Could not keep up with it. It was a war of attrition. There was no way for the South to win because they did not have enough bodies. That was the problem. Awesome. And the fact that these guys want to tear this war memorial down nauseates me, Dad. I mean, I'm so shocked they've actually been able to do this. Golly, dude.
Guys, I love you. I love you. And only the news that you get from us is the news probably that you're going to be listening to every day. I mean, gosh. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come into your homes. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you that we don't have to do commercials to sell commercial spots. Thank you that you continue to get your multiple vitamins from us and you continue just to support us. Thank you for that. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys so very, very, very much. You guys have a blessed, wonderful weekend. I hope you enjoy yourselves. We're going to be going up to Asheville probably tomorrow, so we're having some fun here on our vacation still. But guys, God bless you. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you again for listening. I appreciate you. I'll write up the summary today, Austin. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Yes, guys, we appreciate all the emails and support we've been getting from everybody. Thank you so much for them. Also, too, if you guys, I talked about it yesterday, I think, briefly, the product of the week is the CoQ10 Ubiquinol. That's on sale right now. Also, too, we had a little glitch with the Doug 5 coupon when it was supposed to go on and off. So we did allow it to go through basically tonight. It's going until 10 p.m. tonight Eastern Standard Time just to let it extend that extra day. So if you guys want to use it, the Doug 5, D-O-U-G-5, it will be good till 10 p.m. tonight. That's Eastern Standard Time. So I didn't set it for anything in California. It's going to be like 7 in California if you're listening to the show right now. I won't be extended any longer. We're doing that as a courtesy because there was one person that had an issue with it. So I figured I'd do it for everybody. Just to let you guys know that. 5% off any regular priced items, any of the 3-packs, coupons, other sale products, kits are not applicable on that. But yeah, but also too, like I said, the CoQ10's on sale. Check out the other products that are on product of the week. The Aqua Trace is winning. That's already pulling pretty strong. That's a really, really popular product. We've been selling a lot of it because of how effective it is and because we did 8 ounces of the Aqua Trace concentrate mineral suspension formula. If you don't know about it, go online and check it out. Really, really good product. 8 ounces last a very, very long time. So if you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again Monday.